We will call this meeting of the Alloy Planning Commission to order. It is Monday, March 24th, 2014, 6:30 at the Alloy Village Hall. Call to order, Retzloff.
Here.
Rope.
Here.
Dart.
Here.
Hanson.
Here.
Dorn.
Here.
Koppenrud. Excuse. And Colada, present. Agenda topic 2, modify, adopt the agenda.
Move to adopt.
By Retzloff, is there a second? Trustee Dart, any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. The motion carries. Agenda topic 3, minutes from the February 24th, 2014 meeting. Has everyone had an opportunity to review them? Any changes or modifications, additions? Or great job, Sherry, as usual.
Move to adopt.
By Retzloff?
Second.
By Hanson? Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. The motion carries. Agenda topic 4. Tracy, do you have any announcements?
Yeah, we just have one, and then Alex has a couple as well. I just want to let you know, as far as the new apartment, the Hotel's apartment, it will potentially be on our next meeting agenda. They're in the process of finalizing the documents, and I just received an email today to clarify something. So hopefully the April meeting, they will be back and we'll be ready to present to you again. And also, you may see the site in the news again this evening. The reason it's in there is the village board just recently denied a claim from their insurance company that was filed against the village and the city. It was actually filed in September of last year, and it was a claim saying that we did not provide or not have water for the fire, and the village board had just denied that on Tuesday night, so the media has gotten that, and so you may see some stories again about the fire, and that's the reason it's coming back up. It's just because of the denial from the village board at their last meeting, so that is a scoop on that one, so that's it. And then Alex has a couple things to share with you as well.
All right, well, first of all, the TAP grant that we're working on for the State Progressive School Plan, we're currently in the second stage of that. We pretty much have all the materials all set to go for that. We'll be sending that in this week, probably on Wednesday.
And Alex, what is in the grant? What's covered in that, please?
Yeah, there's a lot of sidewalks and bike lanes, and we're trying to get students to walk and bike to school instead of their parents dropping them off. We did a lot of surveys, and we noticed that not many of them walk to school, even though most of them live within a mile or a mile and a half. And a lot of parents don't feel safe with their students walking, especially the Webster Elementary. So trying to get more students to walk. And then also, I've been working on the CSM process. I touched base with a lot of the surrounding communities, and just kind of see where they're at, if they have a fee to process it, which boards or committees that goes through. And I have a kind of a database, and we'll have that for you at your next meeting.
Does Brown County track that at all, or not really? They just leave it up to the local municipality?
Every CSM does go through the county.
But they don't have an idea on what everybody. I'm just trying to save work if somebody else had a list already in place versus you creating a list.
You know, they may have some information that may be a good place, and he's asked that most of the communities already, but that may be a good place to ask him because he may have a feel for what other communities are doing as well, so that's a good idea.
Yes, Trustee Dart.
Alex, would you share the amount of that grant, that Safe Route to School, the dollar amount? They don't have that in front of them. I don't recall it.
The grant, the total grant is approximately, almost $400,000, and the village will be responsible for about $80,000, about $78,000 will be our share of it. It's an 80-20 grant, and it is really centered, as Alex said, around Webster School, and it took the information I was going to have for this, when we put Safe Route to School together, that's what we really put forth for the grant program. And so it has, like Doc said, it's left sidewalks, it has some bump outs on some roads, it has some intersection reconfiguration. So it really is a whole idea to move the kids more safely to the Webster School area. And it also impacts St. Matt's a little bit because some of those connections will be down towards St. Matt's, so it'll make it a little easier for the kids from that area heading towards St. Matt's as well.
Just for some of the history, I think many of us participated in the Safe Routes to School plan. I don't remember if we prioritized which schools. I think it was more of a hodgepodge, a list, a wish list in some cases. So staff basically prioritized?
Yes. The original, I have to remember, we applied for an original grant through the original Safe Routes to School program, which is a 100% grant. And that was 2 years ago, I believe. And we did not receive that grant. And that was for almost all the schools and all the different accommodations at those schools. That was, I think, a $600,000 or $700,000 grant. So we looked at it, we kind of looked back at the plan. An area that we thought could impact the most, not only for Safe Routes to School, but for moving our residents to the community as well. And we decided to go after the grant for Webster School. So, and Webster School has been very, the PTO is excited about it, has been on board, and has given us some information from behind. So they're really all for this, and they're excited to get going on it, and indeed we do get it. So.
And if we do get it, we'll have to update our maps as appropriate, and hopefully we can in the near future.
Yes, we will.
Any other Planning Commission comments, questions about this update? Any other? Yes, Trustee Gardner.
I just want to say, I think Webster School is more, it's centrally located, and it's also really bad traffic in that area when school lets out, so I think it's a good place to start with that.
Yeah, the numbers are pretty staggering when you look at it. The students that obviously it would be capable of walking to school, and the students that actually do, it's be surprised at how many people that actually walk.
If nothing else on announcements, we'll go to agenda topic 5. Anybody with a public appearance? Going once, going twice, going 3 times. We'll move on to agenda topic 6, amendment to PDD for 279 East St. Joseph, formerly 289 East St. Joseph. Tracy?
Okay, I'll just give you some background information. This particular development was approved in the PDD process in April of 2012, and it's the property on East St. Joseph, right behind the so it sits behind that. It's an RCAC. It's a residential community for senior citizens, basically. The original approval included certain treatments on the exterior of the building. They have asked to change the exterior treatment, and because of that being approved through the PDD process, it needs to come back to the Planning Commission and then onto the Village Board, and a public hearing will be held with the Village Board for a change on that to take place because it was approved in the original PDD one way and then it has to come back to you. So I know Dan Dorr is here from Hillcrest tonight and he can go through the specifics on what they're looking at and explain that all to you unless you have any other questions for me.
So for tonight, just to make it clear, we're just basically the outside, the brick being added to the building. That's the only thing we are looking at tonight.
Yes.
Is there any, just a few comments that you would like to make, sir?
Yeah, just basically the original plan was approved with the bottom of roughly 3.5 feet of stone. This is a stone veneer. This is what the original samples that we had in when the colors were picked. This is the actual colors of the bottom, roughly 3.5 feet that we're going to put it just to the bottom of the windows. That's the way the plan was originally approved. And then the upper part, the upper roughly 5.5 feet, was going to be a stucco finish. Stucco, Ephus, Perex, it's a bunch of brand names of a stucco finish. And this was what was presented at that time for the upper part of that, which again, it's a 12-don stucco type finish above it. And this is what was originally approved. As you get all the decorators and everybody going at it, and this stucco finish is, it's a relatively expensive finish also, but they're going, well, if you're going to spend that much on it, why not do the whole building in all stone and really doll it up nice? So it's basically it's the same stone that was approved for the bottom 3.5 feet. They would like to put it all the way up to the soffit. Now, around the front windows, just to accent it, it would be a brick veneer just around the windows as an accent because of the, when we were going to do the stucco would have stuck out around the windows a little bit to kind of accent the windows. Well, now without doing that, this is just a brick veneer, and this is just a color sample for just what would get, it's called heads around. They cut a brick into pieces so it sticks out a little bit past the original stone, and it just accents it. There'd be a key away above it, and there'd be a brick just going around the front windows of the building, and the rest of it all the way to the bottom of the soffit would be the original stone. So basically that's the change you're looking for.
Thank you. Is there any place?
It's quite an upgrade, obviously, on the inside. It's an all stone building now rather than the stucco, so it's of course we feel certainly a step up. It's not like we're downgrading our exterior. Any questions on any of the?
I'll take that as no questions. So if there is no questions, I would accept a motion. Or is there any discussion?
Well, we have to have the motion first, I guess. But
okay, yeah. I would accept. Well, you look like you were going to say something, so that's why I'm throwing it out there.
No, move to approve.
By Retzloff? So. Okay. Is there a second?
No second.
And roll. Any further discussion? Hearing none,
I will make a note.
Okay. Yes.
The correspondent said that this would occur on all faces of the building, correct?
Yes, correct.
Tracy?
Can you just put in your motion that you're sending this on to the April 15th Village Board meeting?
Sure.
And make approval of it, and then they will
hold a public
hearing at that time.
Okay. Do you have that, Chair? Mm-hmm. So we have a motion that's been made and seconded. A little bit of clarification, but that's any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed nay. The motion carries. Thank you. Moving on to what's labeled as addition. Presentation by Fred Montague. Am I saying it right?
Yep.
Excellent. From Advanced Economic Development Tool for 1649 South Webster, which is the old Village Hall site.
I'm Frank Montague, Vice President of Economic Development for the Advanced Division of Green Bay Chamber. I'm also on the Alloway Economic Development Committee.
Thank you. That's fine.
With the passage of the TIF district, the committee has been looking at types of businesses that might be easily attractive to the village. And at the last two economic development committee meetings, I made this presentation. This is a tool, ESRI is a software database tool that economic developers use when trying to ascertain the best usage of property, what type of businesses you might be able to attract to a specific development and specific location. And Roger was at that meeting. And I guess that's how I know before you.
Thank you for coming.
But this is quite a large packet of information. I just want to highlight a few of the things. If you look at the first page, what I did was I arbitrarily selected a piece of property in the village, which is Will Billings Park site, 1649 South Webster. And this software tool allows you to draw concentric circles or 5 and 10 and 15 and 20 minute drive times from that location. So if you turn to page 2 of the document, you can see the areas highlighted on that site map from that location represent 5 and 10 minute drive times. For retail developments, about 80% of business that goes into any retail store comes from 5-10 minute drive times. So when you're trying to attract a retail outlet to your particular area, you want to try and find all the statistics that you can about the number of people, the population, the wealth in that particular 5 and 10 minute drive times. Page 3 is a traffic count, so that shows that about 14,400 cars pass that site on a daily basis. And if you turn to the next set of pages, it tells you a lot of statistics about the households within the 5 minute. First pages are 5 minute drive times, and then the last pages are 10 minute drive times. So the population that is within 5 minute drive time in that particular site at the 2000 census was 16,228 individuals that populate 5,920 individual households. Then it tells you by age, by education, number of, by size, continue on, racial makeup of the people, how many are homeowners, how many rent, their mortgage status. It just tells you a wealth of information. You go to the last pages in that section, and it tells you demographic and income profile. You can see that the household by income, the median household income within a 5 minute drive time is $44,828. 10 minute drive time, the median household income is $42,587. So you're starting to create a mosaic as to what type of business would move into that area. We have a lot of businesses. You've seen a lot in the Press Gazette and on the news media recently about Whole Foods Group. We and others in the community have been trying to get Whole Foods here for about 5 or 6 years now. But we don't qualify. They have two measurements. One is household income, median household income. Within Brown County, it's about $54,000. They won't cite a store unless it's about $74,000. We also do not have a sufficient pool of post-secondary graduates. So they look for college graduates with median household income of 74. So this creates the mosaic of what types of businesses might be attracted to your area when you go out and try to get them in. If you continue on towards the middle, there's just, again, more and more statistics and data about each of the households, their expenditures. There is a section in the middle called the tapestry segment, and there's a series of graphs. I'm sorry, I went too far. Retail market profile, it looks like this. It's a bunch of bar graphs, sideways bar graphs. What this section tells you is what they call the leakage and surplus factor. And surplus is that you have more availability in this particular region of a particular service or product. And leakage means that you have an insufficient supply within your area of other things. So if you go down to the large graph in the middle there, you can see that this area, 1649 South Webster, only has two areas of surplus. One is florists, shredded flowers, kind of natural. Also, health and personal care stores is a surplus area. So it would be difficult for us to go and try and get another florist into the area of competition. If you look to the right, you can see that there's significant leakage, which means that people are leaving the community or leaving this 5 minute drive time to get those products and services because there is an insufficient supply within this particular area. So this starts to boil down. We've got, these are general industry segments by NAICS code. So the more analysis that you do, then you start to zero in what type of business within the surplus or leakage factor would be willing to come to a location with 14,000 cars passing on a daily basis, with average household income of 44,000, with X number of children. So this is how economic development goes about trying to identify the particular business that would be most attracted not an individual store, but a generic store. If it happens to be a pharmacy, we would not necessarily simply go to Walgreens. You'd go to CVS, Walgreens, Shopko. So you try to get as many potentially interested parties in your particular land as possible.
Just a question on
this.
Please,
at any time.
For example, like the grocery stores. I mean, there's the Webster Market. Cops isn't that far away. Why wouldn't that fall up as something that there is a surplus in the community?
Because per the spending habits of the community, that showed that it's insufficient supply.
Okay.
So we got music in?
Okay.
If I look towards the back, there is what's called the dominant tapestry segments. This system takes and categorizes the average type of people that live in an area. And the area profile within 5 minutes of this land, about 14% are what's called prosperous empty nesters. And what ESRI has done is it's categorized. There's approximately 40 different categories, or I guess 65 different categories. And they tell us the typical buying patterns, the typical living habits of each of those. So you can see that we have a heavy population in this area of what's called prosperous empty nesters. And I think if we go on, it will give you a definition of what traditional buying habits people within the traditional empty nesters have. They usually tend to be more affluent, they tend to be more educated, they tend to be homeowners rather than renters. So it breaks down that category into the typical things. That also helps you then try and identify the best possible use of that particular piece of property. That's about all.
I guess the question, this is great information, but can it be used for like the rest of the TIF district also?
Yes.
I mean, because then we can hopefully...
You just pick a spot on the map. I pick this particular address, and then it generates and tells me if you want 7 minute drive times, you want 3 minute, 5 minute. It's all automatic. It can be done for any piece of property anywhere in the world. This is a global program used throughout the world. So if you wanted to pick a 5 acre site in Sri Lanka, you can do that.
Well, I'm more worried about alloy, but okay.
Yes, it is transferable. We buy a software license per year. We use this very frequently. Right now we're working with Fong County on land out at the airport. They're trying to develop some undeveloped land on the airport to sustain the revenues that they're getting from the airlines. So we've used this for some property in 172 in Backerland. 16-acre site, so you can use a small lot, a large lot, 200 acres, whatever you want, wherever you want to use it, and this will generate that information for you. So I think that the Economic Development Committee is going to begin to utilize this a little bit more to do a little bit more deep dive analysis as to what things the village should be trying to market this piece of property or another piece of property within the TIF district too. What's the most logical opportunity that we have to attract a particular retailer, commercial operation to the village?
I guess that sounds great. The one thing, when we started the TIF district, if I remember right, the village board gave us some guidance on what they'd like for the TIF district. It'd be interesting to see if the research package validates that or conflicts with that. And then maybe the village board would have to relook at that based on the information. So I think it would be very useful to look at that.
Currently, I think it's been both. Some ideas fit and some of them didn't.
Is there any questions for Fred?
Excuse me. Sure. Question. Is there a way to single out a narrower range of categories, or is it all or nothing?
I just did the max.
Okay. You asked for it. Right.
I can, in terms of the tapestry segment, I asked for the top five, I gave you all the 65 that exist, but you can see that 48% of the population within 5 minutes falls into one of those five categories. And so it's, and by the way, this is a small subset of the total package. You get into far more detail in terms of...
You can also get into less detail if you filtered certain...
Correct.
In your inquiry.
Yes.
If you structure your inquiry, you could pinpoint specific things if you're just curious about one or two items. Correct. Like a what-if kind of thing.
Yes. At the point that the Economic Development Committee was, it's here's a blank slate, what are we trying to look for? So you do as wide, you cast as wide a net as you can. Yeah. Initially, but yes, we could do that as well.
This is good, because otherwise you wouldn't necessarily know what to look for.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't think of all these categories.
Right.
Just curious to know how flexible it's
soft. Very flexible, very powerful.
Yes, just looking at the first page and looking at the aerial map, Tracy, is there opportunities? There's that cul-de-sac street back there where maybe there could be a connection into the site so not everybody would have to go to on Webster, and it's depending on what the business is, maybe there could be a more of a bicycle pedestrian type use mix component coming into this property? Or is it just not doable? I don't know what the terrain is.
That's all private property back there. That's all
homes. It is homes, and it is building. Two lots, just actually on the west side of the cul-de-sac. They just built a home. They're building another one, and there is a pretty good grade differential there. Yeah, it really drops. The village house sits really high, and there's probably a 10 foot drop down to where the level of the properties are behind it.
Okay, so it's a missed opportunity. I know in other areas we have connections, like sidewalks getting over to schools in the neighborhoods. And just, I mean, depending on if this is a different type of development, to have a connection so people don't have to drive around and park would be ideal.
This development isn't that old. Do you recall it being platted when you were on the Plan Commission?
No. This was...
I don't know what the original planning was. There were, like I said, there were two or three empty lots that they're just filling up right now. I don't know if anything from the north out of that cul-de-sac would work. Heading south out of there and then staying along the south property line of this property, that might be something to look at, but I don't think it's totally built up, and a resident is not going to want that path to go through in their house anymore. We did beforehand, and we might be able to get it through. So. But good idea, though.
Too late. Sometimes we make it, sometimes we don't.
Yeah.
Is there any other, this is really good information, and I guess this is something, if the business committee is looking at this kind of stuff, it'd be nice so we'd know about it when we're doing our site plan review or different type reviews and for development, so we're not doing something totally different than what the business committee is thinking. Or maybe that's Trustee Dart's link, because you're on both groups.
Well, you can make a request, I can run this for anything that you want to do, and it takes literally minutes for the process to go through.
There might be some that we would. Okay, go ahead.
Can you limit the study area to just the village itself?
Yes.
For example?
Yes. Okay. Again, I do these 5-minute, 10-minute drive things. Mm-hmm. We were looking at retail in this particular site, so that's traditionally where you want to try and track. But you could pick subsections of the village. You could pick the entire village. You could say, bound this by 8 blocks to the north, 14 blocks to the south, 3 blocks to the west, and 8 blocks to the east, whatever you want to do.
And I know some of the retail that are highlighted here, for example, they depend on other types of retail being in the same area so that they get kind of spill over from people visiting other shops and then coming to their shop. Is there a way to examine the different types of retail that to identify ones that could maybe stand alone or could function well with
this system? Program won't do that.
Okay.
You would be better working with a commercial realtor or a site selector. Most of these companies that we approach have employed commercial realtors or site selectors. They know generally what their clients would like to be. A Michael's store does not want to be within 5 miles of this store, but wants to be closer to these stores. So that information is available, but it's usually through these site selectors and commercial realtors. It would not come from this program.
Okay.
Yes, a few other comments. Tracy, did the village look at maybe across the street from the HME on St. Joseph in Riverside? That might be an ideal. I know we've struggled what should go in there or not. That might be an ideal location that's in the TIF district. We have the Riverside Reconstruct coming in a few years. I mean, right now it's just vacant.
Yeah, that would be a great site to look at with this program to see what would come of that. We've had some interest in it. But nothing that's gone too far. There's just some random
walls
on it in regards to the property.
Then I have a big picture thought, too, as we're going to have our discussion a little bit later about our zoning code. I mean, there might be some property that's zoned one use that might have a better use in the future. So I know we're looking right now to by fall to make a recommendation. What should we look at? What can we handle? What can't we handle? But we shouldn't limit ourselves just what's existing zoning versus what's the possibility. So we might want to look at some parcels and requests that Fred run some of these in the future.
Sure, that'd be great. As long as he's willing to do it, we'll take
him up
on it.
Yeah, we won't have you do every parcel. Any other questions, comments, discussion? Hearing none, thank you for your time, and thank you. This is very good information.
Thank you.
Agenda topic 7, general discussion on our zoning code.
Okay, for the general discussion on the zoning code, I just wanted to just walk you through this very briefly, go through it. The zoning code is 113 pages, our zoning code, so it is a fairly large zoning code. Sections of it have been updated over the years, some sections have not, so you have kind of a mix in there. You know, it's set up very much similar to other zoning codes. Obviously, some have things moved to a slightly different place or put it together slightly different, but the general items that are in there are pretty much located in almost all zoning codes. The code itself starts off with, you know, the definitions, goes through all the different definitions that you're going to find in the code. It talks about just general information at the beginning, and the general, then it goes into the general provisions, so then it talks about our districts. And the Village of Alloway has basically 7 zoning districts. And here is our latest zoning map. And you see the green is all village-owned property, so that is not actually a zone. It's just listed as village-owned. So when development does occur at the village hall site that we just talked about, that will have to be zoned appropriately. So right now it's just village owned. Then you have A residential, single family homes, B residential, multifamily homes. We have a high density district, which is a lot of the churches and that type of thing that are located more in residential areas. C professional office district is the peach color on here. We don't have a lot of that kind of down towards the southern end and up in here. It's some C business area. E-commercial district is the red. We have quite a bit of red spread out throughout on Webster, Riverside. A little pocket on green. Light industrial district is the gray. And the light industrial district, we really don't have much of the industry in there anymore. It's mainly office buildings, restaurants, that type of thing. It's all of the property really on the river. And that's one area that we have to look through in the future to rezone. Because if we want development, right now Slide Vestrio really leaves it wide open for development, and we want to have some controls on that. So that's something we need to really look at in the future and make sure that's taken care of.
Is that mostly down by Zellers? Down there?
Yes, down by Zellers. And then it goes all the way down to Eves. Here is East St. Joseph, West St. Joseph, and it goes down towards West Alloway Avenue. So it's all this section in gray.
Actually, we've got some non-conforming uses.
We do, absolutely. Okay, so. Yeah, we have almost all probably. I don't know. I guess there's a little bit of industrial. I know that Alex and Trevor had gone to look at that. They found a little industrial up on Marina, right?
Yep, that's correct. The woods, right next to Jenny's.
Yeah, there's like a machine shop
that's
there.
That tool and die place.
That was Precision.
Okay.
So that's really what you would consider the only industrial at the time. And then there's G Highway Business Use District. That's kind of pinkish color. And that's up in here. That's the gas stations. There are very, very little of that in the community. And then there's PDDs. And those are just, like we talked about tonight, is a district that we put some more stipulations on. So those are really our zoning codes. So the code goes through all of them. It specifically lays them out. It tells what the uses are allowed in those different areas. So that obviously is a big chunk of our code as well. You know, as we discussed, some of it is up to date. Some of it maybe is not so up to date. So there's a big section on that in our zoning code. It gets into, then after that, it's into non-conforming uses, how those are handled, goes into the Board of Appeals, which we have a Board of Appeals, and anything goes to them. It talks about the next territory, which obviously the village is not next anymore because we're pretty much a city or village is adjacent to us, so, but it's still in our code. And then it goes into building permits, really explaining that you need to get a building permit, how to go about getting it, what are the different rules and regulations in general in regards to building permits. Talks about our PDD process, which we just talked about a little bit this evening. Talks about conditional uses. Then goes into our sign code, which is a big one that we just did. And then it ends with our site plan review, which is the process that you have all been through. So that is really the code. Like I said, when you get more used to it, it does seem to make sense, you know, and it flows, but it takes a little bit to get used to it and figure out where everything is. I still have to look for certain things. Some of the other oddball things that are in there, like that are under the general provisions, are things that, such as a sex offender, the density rule is in the zoning code, home occupation is in the zoning code, which I guess isn't so odd. We just revisited that one and did some upgrade to that one. It goes into general information on heights of buildings, the area of buildings, fences, walks and edges, or edges, and then driveways in the general provision. So that's the zoning code. Like I said, it's a pretty big document. There also is, the next code is Chapter 12, which is our land division code. And that really talks about when someone comes in for CSM, how that's handled in subdivisions. Obviously, we don't have much land left anymore for subdivision. It has some general information on subdivisions in there. It's only 2 pages long, so it's not real in depth or land division because we don't have a lot of potential for land division. But that's another code that you guys would get involved in as well. I don't know if that would fit in with zoning or if it should be kept separate, but that's something I think maybe when the zoning code is looked at in the future, we should look at that one at the same time and try to incorporate that or see if that one should stay freestanding or get zoned for. And like I said, I'm not sure exactly how that one should fall. So that's really the code in a nutshell. I know you guys wanted to look at it more in depth and visit it more, so I guess I'm just looking for some feedback from you, what else you're looking for, what you would like me to do some research or get someone to come in and talk more about zoning codes in general, or really what you would like to do from here.
Yes.
I'm just thinking, is it really the zoning code or is it our current zones that are the issue?
I think yes. I think it's probably, I think it's both, probably.
Yeah.
And Tracy, I guess that's a question. I haven't dealt with zoning codes that much. Is 113 pages for a community our size, is that reasonable? Or are we just like, it's more complicated than it needs to be?
You know, I would say that having a zoning code of that size is probably the reason why. I know Kendra and Roger, maybe you guys can comment looking at other communities, but zoning codes are usually pretty big. You know, there's so much to it. I wouldn't say that 113 pages is outrageously large by any means. It's probably right in there with what others have. In fact, there's some that are a lot larger than that.
So I guess before we do anything, should it be updated? Or does it work? I mean, from the staff perspective, does it do everything you want it to do? I mean, there's, as we've talked about in the past, different plan commissions or village boards have changed different segments. And the question is it workable? Does it flow well?
You know, there's some things in there that don't work as well, you know, but overall I think it seems to work out okay. Like I said, there's some changes we can put in. One of the things that is kind of a different zoning area is the C professional. That is actually a residential and a business combination. So that's like up where we put in Orthodontic Clinic, up on the corner of Webster and Broadview. That is zoned C commercial and C professional as well. And it's kind of odd to have a commercial and a residential together. So you could have like multifamily in that zoning district as well as a business in that zoning district. So that's one I think that probably should be looked at to see if that's what we really want. And we may want to look at that and rechange that one a little bit. Because to me it seems odd, and when I've talked to other planning professionals, they seem to think that's an odd combination as well. And I don't know if that's just an older district and that's how it got to be that way, but recommendations that I've had from other professionals, planners, has been really look at maybe dividing that district out. So that's the one odd one that's in there.
What about incorporating the TMB south into the zoning ordinance?
We certainly can. I mean, we did last year with Brockney Planning did, so we added it into our site plan review. So we did put some in it. We didn't go maybe as far as we could. You know, we could have done a whole section on it, but that was something that I think was amenable to the village board as well as the planning commission to get our foot in the door and have that flexibility for it. But yeah, you're right. You could certainly do a whole section on TND. I mean, TND ordinances, you know, they could be 20, 30 pages alone. And we probably put, you know, a few changes into our site plan review to kind of take care of our TND needs that we wanted at the time. So, yeah, that definitely could be added if that's something we want to go further on.
We've gotten a lot of comments that our zoning code doesn't correlate to our comprehensive plan.
Yes.
And
we have a whole document that UWGB students put together, and Penny was at that presentation in Christmas. And they compared the two documents.
I have it. If you, I don't know if there's copies for everybody.
Yeah,
or
we can certainly get them out. I was going to send them out, and then I wasn't sure if I wanted to go quite that far because I wanted to see where you guys were at and what you really wanted to do. So I didn't want to overwhelm you at the time. So I didn't send that document out. But they did have some good input in that document of things where our zoning code was in conflict with our comprehensive plan, or vice versa. So that would be a good start. I think some of the changes we made to our comprehensive plan take care of some of those, but some may not. And they may be more zoning code
changes
than the comment.
Roger, good comment. Yes. Is there anything with the Historic Preservation Committee doing more work? I don't know how far along they are. Is there any district type stuff or any recommendations that they would have that would maybe be appropriate to put into a zoning code, or they're just not there yet?
You know, I would say they're just not there yet. They just completed the intensive survey, which really tells them of properties that would qualify for National Register listing. They're in their infancy right now, and they're working through that. They just received a secondary grant to do National Register nominations for both the community center and the water building on Green. So that will go to village board next week for them to decide if they will accept that and they will go ahead with those two projects. So as far as zoning or anything right now, I think that that'll be out a little bit for them. They do have some districts that were developed through the intensive survey. There are like three districts that the state recommended and did approve. So we do have those districts, but they have not started any work on those yet.
So if we do an update, we might want to leave a door open to add that in the future as we move along.
And those are just the overlay districts?
You know, to tell you the truth, I'm not sure how that would fit into the zoning code. The districts are selected as districts because they meet a historical criteria that there's a certain amount of homes within an area that qualify and potentially be eligible for the National Register. So what happens is the Historic Preservation Committee contacts all those neighbors of the residents that are in that area to see if they're interested in forming that district. If they're interested, then there's some criteria with the state that they follow and get listed. But I don't know how that impacts their zoning code. If that would have to be something listed or if it would be an overlay district, I'm not sure how that all works.
So what thoughts does the, go ahead, Roger. I was just going to say, what are the thoughts? Where do we want to go with this? How do we want to move forward as we discuss this in the next months? As our goal is to get up to some sort of proposal on what should we do with the zoning code before budget time.
Well, I think the main goal is to find out what in our zoning code is inconsistent with our comprehensive plan. I think the vision we have for the village, the vision the village has, is really identified in the comprehensive plan, and the zoning code should support that vision. So I think it's most important to find out whether or not the type of zoning code we have, because there are different formats zoning codes can take, if those, you know, if the format and the way it, the legal requirements of the zoning code need to be modified so that we can reach our vision.
I guess I just have a question. The UW Green Bay class looked at this in fall of 2010. We've updated our comprehensive plan and done an update. So basically what they looked at, there might be some changes that aren't compatible. So I don't know, do we have another class look at it or something like that? Or what other...
I don't know that we changed that much in the comp plan. I mean, we did some updates, the general framework and the general vision is really the same. And I think the zoning code, the way it's written now, if we want Alloway to stay the way it is, then I think it probably supports that pretty well, because if you read through the zoning code, just the two CSMs we've done over the last couple of months, you know, identify setbacks, conditions of how those properties are set up. And, you know, you get a certain character of housing type or development type based on how that code is written. But that might not be, might not be able to do the things we want to make our TIP work, for example, if we stay in with the code the way it is. And it, we just need to find out what those elements are that we need to pursue to be able to make our TIP work and to make our comprehensive plan work. So.
And the document you have, Chris, when I was looking at that, it kind of spells some of those out. I think if we took one, we looked at it, they say, this is what your comprehensive plan is, this is what your zoning code is, and kind of look through it and see which areas it affects and what that might mean. You know, and we just try one and see what that means to us or see what we have to change with that.
I guess one example is economic development. Commercial building setbacks, zero lot line setbacks allow us for better site design. So that's one you just hit on, Roger. So yeah, there's a number of these. I guess, Tracy, it would probably be best if you still have this document. Otherwise, you can use my written up, marked up copy and send it out to everybody.
No, I do have unmarked up the copy. I'll definitely get that out to everybody to look at. And maybe it's something that between Alex and I, we can look at that document, look at the new comp plan, see what has changed, what has not, and then we can revisit it with you both and say, okay, this is to take care of, this is not, this is things that we need to take care of yet. Just to get a feel for it, because like I said, refresh that I don't know how much changed in the comp plan that would have changed that document, but I'm sure there are some things because we, you know, those we looked at too when we were doing the update. So we can certainly do that. That's a start. You know, there's UW Stevens Point has their planning section. I can't remember the exact title for it, but they do some informational presentations and training, and I don't know if that's something that you would want someone from there to come and talk to you about zoning codes. If it's too general, too generic, maybe it won't help with what you're trying to do, but you know, depending on how in-depth and how much you want to get into it, you may have to look at hiring a planner or somebody to do that for us that has that expertise and that knowledge that can really look at it and say, this is good, this isn't, and you know, look at it budgetarily and see if we want to go that route.
I actually brought the Planning Commission handbook from the Center for Land Use Education. Now, I don't know how good they are at if they're experts in the zoning stuff or if they're more just the planning commission process?
We can certainly call and say this is what we're looking at. I think they have, people they recommend, if you're going to the zoning board change, I think they would give you some recommendations on different, would do that for you. But maybe they do some informational session that they can help out with that too. So it doesn't hurt for us to check into if it's something that you would want to do. Would you be willing to have them come to a meeting and talk about it or whatever?
Is there any objections? I think that would be a good idea, and we probably have some money either in our training or one of our budgets somewhere.
Yes, we could probably get some out of it. Yes.
If we would do this, I would probably say, if it be possible, maybe some of the village board members, especially some of the new village board members after the election would like to come, we should probably invite economic development to have a representative. Is there any other groups that should be there?
Historical, yeah.
We would cut out the work of Board of Appeals if we get rid of setbacks and other things.
Don't forget Public Works, because all of our roadway planning and reconstruction are run through Public Works. So.
But Public Works is mostly board members, correct? The committee?
Well, there was two board members that will not be on there anymore because they are not running the board. So we had three board members on Public Works. We will only have Randy Gass.
Okay.
That would be familiar. I mean, there might be some new people on there, but
yeah, we're in the process of looking at Public Works to see if we want to revamp it. But right now, myself and Craig are on there as board members, and Craig's Public Works director, so it's something we're looking at maybe switching that out. So, but we could certainly invite Public Works too. That's a good idea.
So it sounds like that's our two action items I've heard is Tracy or Alex will send out this document from the UW-Green Bay students from December 2010, and then check into, and I don't know if there's other resources. I kind of know what Brown County and some of the other local agencies could provide, so it might be good to try the Center for Land Use Education. And they might have a great idea what's been done statewide and the different examples. Is there anything else, or is that a fair action plan for now? I guess one other comment in the future. We're all squinting at that map.
I know.
Would it be possible in the future, if it's not bigger, maybe break it into two? 172 seems to be a natural break. You could put one on the front and one on the back, and then it would make it larger and easier to read.
Yep.
And we could use that at our meetings easier when we're meeting with the public. Any other suggestions, comments? So can we, if possible, have an update for the next meeting? If nothing else, I hope we get a lot more discussion on review of the bicycle and pedestrian map.
Okay, before I turn this over to Alex, I'm just going to give you a little bit of background. And this was put on the agenda. I think I actually had it put on the agenda. What's up on the board is the Brown County plan that we'll see tonight, so I'll be able to see. What you see was two with the red print, the bigger blue ones, and the two red ones that are in your packet, the red top, are both from our comprehensive plan. Then in your packet, there are two of the blue color ones, and those are the ones that were actually in this document, the state bus school back. So that's where all the different plans come from. I'm going to have Alex go through and kind of explain how we got to where we got. Brown County's plan, as you know, was updated in the spring of 2011. Our plan, the Alloway Safe House School plan, was completed in February 2012. So it was later than this one. So some of the things on our plan may not be on theirs because theirs was updated prior to ours being done. And also theirs is more general in nature versus ours being so more specific as it is directly to the village. So with that, I'm just going to have Alex go through it with you a little bit and explain what we have, and then, and again, any questions you have or what you're looking for, that would be great.
Like Tracy said, the red maps are from our comp plan, while the blue are from the Safe Routes to School. The blue maps are a lot more detailed. They show with added crossings, bump outs, and trail connections, where the comp plan is a little bit general. And the map you have up there, the Brown County map, that's the county one as a whole. kind of looked through our Safe Routes to School plan and the county's bicycle and pedestrian plan, and a lot of the information isn't the same. They both use the 4E principle, engineering, education, encouragement, and enforcement. Well, the Safe Routes to School plan also includes evaluation in there, which I think is important. We did that through annual reviews, primarily through parent and student surveys.
So in the Brown County plan, like Alex said, it has a lot of the same roads that we have on ours, except ours are more a little more detailed. The ones in the blue tab go into even, you know, more detail. They talk about trail connections, they talk about bump outs, they talk about adding crossings, they talk about a lot of trail connections, bridges, that type of thing. So it gets a little more in depth in our Safe Routes to School than it did even in a comprehensive plan. So those are the plans, and we've used the ones with the blue top. That's the ones that we use for our TAP grant. Looking at that, using some of the information from there to put in good sidewalks and the different accommodations that are around Webster School. So that shows pretty much what we had put in for that particular grant. So that's what we really have right now on bicycle and pedestrian facilities. That are in the two different documents, and then that one you can't see as well, but that one being the Brown County one that was recently completed as well.
I'm not sure if I'm looking at this correctly. So when I'm looking at, like, the one, the red one, the top red one, or the first red one, with a lot of red lines now. So you look at Alloway, and there's only a few red lines. And then in that Green Bay and DePere, they, like, have a much more extensive sidewalk system than we do. So it looks like in Alloway we hardly have any sidewalks compared to DePere and Green Bay. I guess I just never looked at it in that framework before, where it was so obvious that we don't have a lot of sidewalks.
But Alloway was a town before being a village, so it never necessarily caught up to the cities of Green Bay or DePere in that area. I guess the key for me, the Safe Routes to School plan, figure 5-1, has that been given to DOT for Riverside just to show some of those areas that there should be the crossing connections that don't show up on our comp plan map?
Yes, we've, I don't know if we've given them this exact map, maybe we should have, but we've we have another map that we put together with the help of a consultant showing these different connections through across Riverside. So all of these have been noted, and they have that on a map that was provided to them from us.
And part of the reason why I asked this to be put on was our follow-up discussion after last year when we went on our bicycle pedestrian trip of the village. And I know we struggled, like, over on St. Joseph. We had the sidewalk planned for the north side, but not on the south side. And we had the discussion with the HME site that maybe they should add sidewalk. So I want us to relook at this map and say, hey, one side's better than no side, but maybe in some of these cases that are in our TIF district, we should be looking at both sides. And is there other updates also, like the trails going forward for Sunset Park? Should that be shown as a connection in here? And some maps are updated and some aren't. Maybe we need to drop some of the maps and just have one map that we concentrate instead of having several maps we're trying to update.
Yeah, I mean, you probably want to stick to one instead of having a bunch. It just, with the comprehensive plan, it just isn't quite as detailed as it would, obviously, for the Safe Routes to School, but the information for the comprehensive plan really came from the Safe Routes to School, but just toning it down a little bit. And you're right, I mean, we're working on, you can see the scheduled trail connection at Sunset Park on the proposed pedestrian facilities.
Okay.
So that one is listed, and that one, we just got the easement done, so that one will be built, going out to bid shortly, and hopefully coming back in end of April. So that one will be bid out, and that should be done this year. So that connection will definitely be there. Also, the one just to the north of 172, you see it, it's the green again on figure 5.1. that's shown on there, and that one will be done, that's planned to be done this year as well. So that one will be in from Webster down to Riverside and then connecting with the Fox River Trail. So, you know, there are some on here that are shown as potential, but they're going to be done fairly soon, so it's just a matter of updating and keeping them at current.
So I guess my challenge to the Planning Commission is take a look at these maps for maybe next meeting. We could put it on the agenda or just email Tracy or myself if there's blatant changes or things that we should be discussing. Otherwise, maybe it's fine the way it is, unless is there things that we should be looking at. I know St. Joseph, maybe we should have that on both sides of the street instead of one side of the street, especially if there's a development on the north side of St. Joseph and south of St. Joseph. Does it make sense to have one side, and especially as Riverside is reconstructed, I'm assuming there'll be sidewalk on one or both sides of the Highway 57?
Yeah, that's planned, one or both on Riverside.
See, and that's the other reason to look at this, re-look at this now, is before we knew about the reconstruct, we were working on some of this, the planning and the process in the past. So now that we know it's coming forward, what other connections make sense that we should be pushing for so we can get people out of cars and get them walking or biking?
Is there any text associated with these maps that kind of explains what the goals
of
the routing is?
In the Safe Routes to School, I'm sure it goes into the maps and kind of spells out a little bit, and I'm sure the comp plan too, there's some information, just some brief verbiage in regards to it.
The comp plan is much more general.
Yeah.
But I, you know, they've got little directive marks, you know, on these Safe Routes to School maps.
And they do, in the Safe Routes to School, they break it down.
There is a task as well, but like here just happens to be a breakdown for the proposed improvements for St. Matt's. So that's just taking that particular area and really putting some detail towards it, and they break that down in a lot of places. So obviously the Safe Routes to School plan is much more detailed than the comp plan, because that's all it's focusing on. Is and the Safe Routes to School plan is also our bicycle and pedestrian plan. So it's not just Safe Routes to School, it's a bike and ped plan for our whole community, because our community is so small that when you started looking at it, when you started to put in Safe Routes to School sidewalks, you're also impacting and moving people in the community, whether they're going to school or not. So it's just an all-encompassing plan rather than having two separate ones.
Yeah. I think what I'm more concerned about is the bicycle and pedestrian recommendations for Alloway in Chapter 5, where they go through different types of facilities and techniques that are designed to make walking and bicycling safer and better accommodated in the village.
Who pays for those sidewalks? Is it a special assessment for each property owner?
If they're considered what they call public use sidewalks, so they're, you know, bringing children to school, then the village does take on that cost. For instance, they're redoing Hoffman Road right now, and we're adding sidewalk, and that's considered a public use sidewalk, so that will not be assessed to the property owner.
Well, for example, going down St. Joseph Street.
That would be, we have to look at that and see, it might be assessed to the adjacent property owner. Like, for instance, when the Planning Commission and the Village Board went through the HME redevelopment on the corner of Riverside and St. Joseph, we required sidewalks. So it was at their cost that they had to put sidewalks in. So let's say we decide on the north side of St. Joseph when the new development comes in, and we say we want a sidewalk along there, that would be something that we would, as part of their review and as part of the requirement for that development, we would say you need to put a sidewalk in.
That was across the street as an example.
Right, exactly.
That's on our plan, so as part of the development, we said we want a sidewalk connection.
Yeah. So for residential areas, we look at them a little more closely to see if it is more of a public use sidewalk than a residential neighborhood sidewalk, and if it's considered public use, then it is not assessed. In business, new development, we look at that, and the business developer would be responsible for paying and putting that in.
So there could be a lot of opposition from the property owner.
It could, yes.
I remember when Harry Mockel first started his development, now it's part of the zoning planning back then. there was a lot of neighbors there because they were talking about sidewalks on which side of the road, and it was wasn't favorable.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right. Sidewalks sometimes are a bad word to people.
Yeah.
So. So, I mean, if you decide, let's say, because we have so many different bike plans, if there's one that you really like, or if you like it and you like this added and that added to it, we could certainly have that made up and made into a bigger map that you could use, similar to the big, if we do a zoning one, that you could use kind of as your, you know, when you're looking at bike and pet facilities, you could use that particular map. So if you really like, let's say, the Safe Routes to School one that has more detail, we could have that one blown up, and maybe we can adapt it a little bit. Hey, we don't want this on there, we don't want this, we don't want that. You know, so just, I guess, look at the maps you have and see what you like, what you don't like, and then we can adapt them in different ways. It's just a matter of getting back to the county, and they would be able to change them out for us and make what you really would like. So, it, you know, at least you're all looking at the same thing, and it's consistent.
Anything else?
I just have a couple of things that I can say right away that I'd like to see on these. Number one, none of the public transit is identified on these maps. And for both pedestrian and bicycling, public transit is an integral element of being able to get around. The other thing is, as someone who does bicycle for transportation, the street that gets me through the village most efficiently is actually Webster, and it isn't identified for any purpose with respect to bicycling on this map. So I would like to see something done there to make bicycling.
Well, in Webster, isn't that, Tracy, one of the only routes in the village that it's allowable to ride the sidewalk just because it's either putting kids or bicyclists on the street and taking a lane because there isn't any room?
You are correct. Yeah. That's the one road or the one sidewalk area that you can legally ride a bicycle on.
Yeah, but it's well acknowledged that bicycling on the sidewalk is far more hazardous than bicycling in the street.
I don't disagree. It's just... you talk about impacts to the property owners. So. That would be...
Well, and I think, you know, Webster, I can't remember the year that it comes up for redevelopment, but when it comes up for redevelopment, there probably will be federal money and state money involved in that redevelopment project because it's going to be a big project. And federal and state money require you to look at complete streets, so that would include bicycle pedestrian facilities. So the Webster that we see today may be very different in the future because... when it's redevelopment, those things will have to come into play. And you may end up with bike lanes on it. You may end up with a three-lane configuration. You may end up with hopefully moving the sidewalks off of the road because that's a pain the way it is right now. So it will be very different. And you're right, maybe it should have been addressed on our map saying for future, look at a bicycle accommodation, bike lanes or whatever on Webster because it is one of our main north-south routes through the community.
But, Tracy, you're talking Webster to the north because Webster to the south wasn't reconstructed that many years ago. It's going to be a long, long time until there's an opportunity to improve it. I mean, we can put it on a map, but some areas might be implemented well before other ones.
Well, you mean the things they did last year?
No, I mean a few years ago they reconstructed all basically from the pier. I don't know how far north that went. So all that's been reconstructed. They're not going to go in and rip everything out after. I mean, they're going to want their 40 years of experience or life expectancy out of that pavement before they would entertain the major cost of reconstructing it. But the piece to the north, I believe, I don't know what that's up for, Tracy, if that's going to be a resurface or a reconstruct or what level project that would be.
Intervening?
Correct, in Alloway, right.
You know, I think that is a reconstruct.
Okay, so that would be an opportunity.
But I can't remember how many years out that is. It's a bit out yet. I know they're redoing the bridge on the north end. I believe it's this year or next year they can be redoing the bridge, but the whole reconstruction of the whole section.
That's the bridge over the railroad, right of way.
Yeah. That's true.
how happy would the county be, county highway department, to broach this subject? I mean, is that something you brought up to them at all, Tracy?
With the new bridge, you mean?
Well, not just the new bridge, but in the future when Webster is reconstructed, that it be considered.
Or maybe I can say that the planning commission or the planning department of Brown County is receptive to that and is keeping that in mind. So
okay.
It definitely is on their radar.
Any other discussion now? Otherwise, Sherry, can we put this on if there's room for the next agenda? If there's not, if there's too much with Hilltop and everything else, we can always bump it out another month. If nothing else, let's go on to agenda topic 9. Next meeting date, April 28th, and agenda items. What's that? And I didn't bring my list of things by quarter of what we need to deal with.
Well, did we discuss reviewing this by pet plan again next, and the zoning plan again next?
We can do that, and if possible, maybe we could have somebody from the Center for Land Use Education. I don't know, did we talk about having Barb come back and talk about the historic
prison? She's going to be on the April.
Correct. I would just ask that Hilltop go first, because that's going to be long. And depending on how late it gets into the night, we can always defer and push something back so we're not here too long. Is there any other topics that anyone has? That?
Well, based on this bike and pet issue, I know a number of communities, municipalities in the state have been instituting complete streets ordinances. So I don't know, I don't think next week, month is the time to do it, but somewhere along the line I would like to see us at least assess whether LOA should study having a complete streets ordinance established.
Sure, you got that as a possible. So we might not do it next month, but
in the future.
Any other topics to add?
Can I ask, yes. Where are you at with Hilltop regarding the apartments? I kind of looked through this stuff a little bit, and of course, in the paper a little bit. So, is it a rezoning of that parcel, or is it? I heard about a park. You know that the neighbors want a park. Where are you at?
There will not be a rezone. It is zoned to have an apartment down there. There's an apartment down there, and they're looking at rebuilding another apartment to the site. The neighbors have requested it become a park.
Mm-hmm.
The developer is not willing to have it become a park.
Of course not.
Build on the property instead. They had originally come to my commission a couple months ago and went through the first phase of the plan, a PDD process.
Mm-hmm.
Then they got into that, and they were like, well, maybe we don't want to do a PDD. We can meet the zoning code for that particular site. So they kind of stepped back a little bit and are revisiting that to see if they can build, they can have a development and go through the site plan review process.
Similar number of units?
Pardon?
Similar number of units?
Less.
Okay.
It was 74. I think they're down to 48 or 45 is where they're at right now. So they're kind of in... They're rehashing at stage right now. When it came to Plan Commission, there was a lot of input and a lot of information provided to them that they have taken and they are putting into their new plan. So they will be back at our next meeting. They know if they go site plan review, it has to meet the zoning code. If it does not, then they would have to go to PDD. So that's some of the things they're checking right now on some of the setback requirements to see if what they're proposing will meet site plan review and be able to go through that process rather than PDD.
Okay.
So that's kind of where it is.
Okay, thank you.
Can I just add something to that? I think there's a couple things that people that want to park or the different ideas that have come up aren't aware of, and it's, well, they might be aware of it, but the property owner would have to request it to be rezoned. It wouldn't be anybody else rezoning it, and their insurance requires a rebuild to make them whole. So the idea of making it a park was just someone's idea.
Right, yeah. I figured that because you can't tell a property owner to change his parcel into a park when it was a commercial property.
Right.
That's one of the things I heard here about the park.
Any other topics?
You know, the thing that this does do is it points out a fault in our zoning, because we have a high-density district right up against an A residential district, mm-hmm. low-density mm-hmm. residential.
Sure.
And there really ought to be some kind of buffering between the two,
mm-hmm.
which we don't have in this situation.
Right.
So.
Right. And which you can't change.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
Any other topics for the next agenda? If you think of any, please send them to me and copy Tracy. Otherwise, we'll move on to agenda topic 10, adjournment.
So moved.
By Retzloff, Trustee Dard, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. The motion carries. Thank you, everyone, and thank you, Tracy and Alex, for putting together the PowerPoint or all the information that you did for this meeting.